He had the largest national debt of any president in a four-year period, number one. Number two, that $2 trillion tax cut benefited the very wealthy. What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America, billionaires in America. And what's happening? They're in a situation where they, in fact, pay 8.2% in taxes. If they just paid 24%, 25%, either one of those numbers, they'd raise $500 million, billion dollars, I should say, in a 10-year period. We'd be able to wipe out his debt. We'd be able to help make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare.
Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. And out of sympathy for Joe Biden, I have a cold, too. But we're going to talk about this debate. You're hearing already, I know, what you're supposed to think about it. The New York Post has a big front page ad. They said, with a picture of Joe Biden staring, it says, just sad. CNN, we are, I can't repeat it. The headline is, we are blanked. Democrats despair over Biden debate performance. And Politico says, Democrats really have no way to spin this. I think all of those things are true. Well, last night the two candidates talked about abortion, and I was really on the edge of my seat as they were talking about that. And I'm going to make some comments about that a little bit later. Because you know that abortion is a very serious problem. It's something that we have come to accept as a nation. We found it abhorrent at the nation's beginnings. There's no way our founding fathers or the early settlers of this country would have ever embraced abortion, and yet here we are, at a stage where we know so much and we're so sophisticated that we think it's fine to destroy babies, innocent babies, within their mother's womb for no reason, really. Just it's not convenient. I want to go to school. I didn't expect a fifth child. You fill in the blanks. And I am not unsympathetic. I'm a woman. I understand abortion can be very inconvenient if you're not married, if you're a young girl. I totally get that. But life is sacred no matter what, and you have to make hard choices. And the only way girls can make hard choices is if they actually understand what they're doing. And that's where preborn comes in, because preborn provides ultrasounds to women so that they can see their babies in utero and decide, you know, most of them decide, I cannot take that baby's life. I'll either keep the baby or I'll give it to someone who will love it. If you would like to help preborn provide those ultrasounds, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, sorry for my voice today, but you know you can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can go to any social media platform or listen on any podcast platform, or you can go to sandyrios.com and you can find everything and listen to the podcast. So the choice is yours. But we're going to talk about this debate today and some surprising things, because you have to understand this is another earthquake moment last night where the ground shifted beneath our feet. And we're going to explain why that is on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Look, there's so many young women who have been, including a young woman who just was murdered, and he went to the funeral. The idea that she was murdered by an immigrant coming in, they talk about that. But here's the deal. There's a lot of young women are being raped by their in-laws, by their spouses, brothers and sisters, it's just ridiculous, and they can do nothing about it, and they try to arrest them when they cross state lines.
Thank you.
There have been many young women murdered by the same people he allows to come across our border. We have a border that's the most dangerous place anywhere in the world, considered the most dangerous place anywhere in the world. And he opened it up, and these killers are coming into our country, and they are raping and killing women.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was just a touch of the debate last night, in case you missed it. And it's no question about it. President Joe Biden, in the first few minutes, was just terrible. He lost his train of thought. He couldn't speak. And so we have a lot of examples of that. But you heard it just now. In fact, at one point, President Trump says, "I really don't know what he said." At the end of that sentence, I don't think he knows either. President Trump was actually, I thought, pretty sad. When you looked at his face, it was like he didn't even know how to respond when Joe was getting confused. There's no doubt it was a bad night. Now, the way it was set up, before this all happened, remember, each candidate had 2 minutes to answer a question. And then the other candidate had 1 minute to respond. And the plan was that they were going to shut off the mic so that the person who was trying to respond, they would control the conversation. I was really concerned about that. And also, no audience. And also, they said no press. No press in the room. They were prepared to control everything. They also, they've denied, CNN has denied it, but I don't doubt this is true, that they were going to add like a 1 or 2 second delay so that they could control a little bit, well, we're assuming, so that they could control things if Joe Biden really, really did mess up. Now, you heard Dana Bash jump in really quickly and kind of cover for Joe when he said we did away with Medicare. I forgot exactly how he put that. But I would say that Dana Bash and Jake Tapper surprised me because they actually ask good questions. They ask hard questions to Joe Biden, and they ask hard questions to Donald Trump, and they were actually respectful. I think that goes into an overarching topic that we're going to get to a little bit later. So I'll come back to that. I think that's part of the system here. And so I've asked Bruce to join me because we had a difference of opinion. I was so relieved that President Trump was able to say his piece and not be cut off. So I felt that he did a good job last night. But Bruce, you were concerned.
Yes, I was.
Hi, sweetheart, my husband.
good morning. Yes,
sick wife.
I probably drove Sandy crazy because
yes,
she's trying to watch the debate. And I have to tell you, I had many comments about many things as the debate was going. I guess my ADD was really kicking in. But I guess we were focusing really on two different things. I think it was sad to watch Joe Biden. He was, especially in the beginning, he was just incoherent. You could hardly hear him. He was mumbling.
And staring.
He was staring.
Like staring, yeah. Like he didn't even know where he was.
But, you know, I wasn't so, I hate to say I'm not so concerned about that. I was more concerned with how is President Trump going to do. And I have to tell you, Sandy, I was very disappointed in him. I just thought he was not clear. I didn't think he laid out the facts. I didn't think he just spoke in generalities the whole night. Like, your administration is the worst in history. Mine was the best. That's fine to say that. But then give us a little meat on that bone. Give us some facts. I guess maybe you think it goes without saying that those things are true. I just needed a little more. I just needed more. Though many of them were false, Biden, I thought, came forth with more factual type statements than Trump during.
Well, talking points.
They were talking points.
Well, let's talk about a few of those.
Pumped up for the whole week.
Yeah. Let's talk about a few of those. So one of those things that Biden said, which drove me crazy, he said he is the only president of the 20th century who had no American troops die on his watch, and I was thinking, I wish President Trump had jumped in because there were 13 American service members killed during Biden's botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. And there were 3 service members killed in Jordan just in January. So that was not true. But President Trump was not I don't remember the circumstances of that exchange.
He did not jump on that. And I was waiting for President Trump to tout his record of soldiers' safety under his administration. As I recall, there were no deaths of soldiers due to action.
No, that's true.
When he was
there were
president.
None shot in the Middle East while he was. I think you're absolutely right about that, Bruce. Now, another thing they went to that Joe Biden mentioned, which was really got we knew that the prep included Joe Biden aggravating President Trump to make him mad and get him off his game and make him do something he would regret. He didn't do that. President Trump never really got thrown off or never took the bait. Like when Joe Biden accused him of being a felon, you know, he didn't really take the bait or take the offense or try to defend himself like he normally does. I was surprised. But Joe threw out all of these really twists that have been Trump has been accused of for many years, like that during the Charlottesville exchange that he said white supremacists were very fine people. And we know now, if you haven't heard, I don't like to explain all of this, but let me just say they leave phrases out when President Trump is speaking and make him sound like an idiot. And that's, it's horrible. And if you don't believe that, think about the fact that the press has been telling us that Joe Biden is on top of everything. He's so smart. He's so capable. And that the Republicans have been messing with video to show that he's kind of stumbling, and that's not really true. Well, of course, we saw last night that it's all true. We didn't see a lot of stumbling. We'll talk about some of that in just a little bit. But this is kind of what the press has been saying about Biden before this. This is clip 8.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
This is a man who is sharp, who is on top of his game, who knows what's going on.
This guy's tough. He's smart. He's on his game.
His mental acuity is great.
This is a very sharp president.
This is a man that's on his game.
President Biden is absolutely fit.
There's not a problem.
He's sharp. He's fit. He's always answering questions.
He is on the ball.
He was sharper than anyone I've spoken to.
He is sharp. He is on top of things.
There's no doubt in my mind that the president is mentally fit for office.
Biden has proven himself to have a strong memory.
He's completely mentally sharp.
He's at the top of his game.
See, this is what the press has been telling us. And if people have not been paying attention, they were buying this, that President Biden's not so bad. It's just that the conservatives are taking like little bits out of appearances and making him look bad. Or they're altering videos so that he looks like he's stumbling. He's really not. And last night, they couldn't cover it because they just couldn't cover it. A lot of networks, you know, took the feed from CNN and showed it. And so they weren't able to accomplish that. And that'll play into some other things. Bruce, let's talk about some of the issues. They got into Ukraine and Israel. I was very disappointed that President Trump did not refute Joe Biden's claim that he's giving the Israelis all the supplies they need except for this one weapon. That is patently false. That is just not true.
We know that is not true. You've had Carolyn Glick on your show before, an expert on the weapon situation between the United States and Israel. We know that Secretary Blinken, Secretary of State, continues to go to Israel and basically threaten them that they better put the brakes on not going into Rafah, not continuing this battle against Gaza. And now Biden last night, you know, he was touting this ceasefire plan of his that, if you listen to him, it made no sense. But he says he has world backing in this. I find that hard to believe. Basically, his plan is we're just going to make the Israelis give up, let things go back to the way they were, not protect themselves, and everything's going to be fine. That's his solution.
And behind the scenes, they are saying they're supporting Israel. This is so despicable, and they are not. We just had a briefing this week about how they are not giving the most basic of supplies to Israel. So that is an abject lie. I wish President Trump had caught that, but he didn't. Yeah. At one point that President Trump made that I really appreciated was he repeated what I've said on this mic many, many times, and that is that Joe Biden goaded Putin into going in Ukraine. He goaded him into doing that. He challenged him, didn't do anything to stop it.
Yeah, I wish President Trump would have expanded on that, because if you recall, it was like a slow drip as Putin put troops on the border of Ukraine.
Like a and tease.
He just kept building them up and building them up. And what did we do? Nothing. In fact, Biden's response was, well, we'll see what happens. Like if the Russians just have a minor incursion, whatever that means,
yeah.
If they have a minor incursion, we will not interfere. If they do something major, then we'll think about what we need to do.
That's exactly
now,
what
boy,
he said.
Now, boy, that's really deterrence, huh?
Right. And that's why when Trump said, I would have stopped that, he didn't explain it, but right. I wanted to explain it because, yes, he would have. And he's absolutely spot on that Joe Biden caused that by his lack of action. I think he wanted him to go in because, remember, this is another thing President Trump didn't mention, Joe Biden and his family have made millions from Ukraine. That's what's so upsetting about this. We are spending, what do you say, $200 billion we've given to Ukraine already? And we don't know honestly, this is the truth. We don't even know part of that is probably still going to the Biden family. And he never said that.
No. And, President Trump did make a general statement that if elected before he was even sworn in January, he would stop this war. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. I wish he would have put a little bit of meat on the bone. I know he can't predict exactly how that would happen, but also when President Trump said, this war would have never happened under my watch, I wish he would give a little background that during his time, he got us out of wars. He did not get involved in anything. He got us out. And under Biden, we've gotten into three major conflicts now, and when President Trump made the statement that we are closer to World War III than you can imagine, I take him at his word. I don't think he's the kind of person that throws that around lightly, and I've heard many other people who would have the background to know suggest the same thing.
Yes, and I have to say, in President Trump's defense, he's never been a person for details. I think he has a very big brain, and he has so much stuff in his brain. He knows all of this stuff. He knows it, but he doesn't have the patience to go down to the minutia and find words for it. That's the way I think he operates. He's not, when he talks, he's not misstating. He's just leaving details out.
And look, I try to put it into context last night that President Trump has just come through all these trials. He's facing going to jail within a month. I mean... Or some kind of home confinement. He has been on the campaign trail nonstop. Even when he was in court, when he would have a break, he would go out and do rallies. I mean, this man is indefatigable. But the problem is, in my mind, last night was his chance to lay out his vision of this country. Make America great again. It's a great saying. It sounds great. But you have to give a little more to people who are watching this debate that are maybe what I would call undecided. There's probably not many undecided people at this point. These candidates are very polarizing. You go one way or the other. But there are people that are persuadable. And with the razor-thin margin that will probably be involved in this election, you need to try to reach out to the people that are undecided. And what they want to hear is a little bit of detail, like what can we expect? And, I listed probably 15 issues that I thought were very important that were maybe touched on in this debate but not really fleshed out. I know it's 90 minutes.
You have to answer the question.
But I hate to keep saying this, but... President Trump was too general in his answers for me. And I have to tell you, if they replace Biden and Trump has another opponent, he better do better than he did last night.
We'll get to that.
Yes.
We'll get to that in just a second. One issue that I want to go to, we're going to not talk too much more about the debate, Bruce, because there are other actually larger issues at play here. And this is a very interesting part when they talk about abortion, because, of course, the left is counting on this issue to help them win the election. So they zeroed in on it. President Trump disappointed me because he said the French abortion pill, when he's asked about it, the Supreme Court just legalized it is what Trump gave as an answer, and I support that decision. That's heart-wrenching for me. But he also said this. I want you to hear how he responded and how the two of them went back and forth on the abortion issue. This is clip 13.
Staying on the topic of abortion, President Biden, seven states, I'll let you do that. This is the same topic. Seven states have no legal restrictions on how far into a pregnancy a woman can obtain an abortion. Do you support any legal limits on how late a woman should be able to terminate a pregnancy?
I supported Roe v. Wade, which had three trimesters. The first time is between the woman and the doctor. Second time is between the doctor and an extreme situation. The third time is between the doctor, between the woman and the state. The idea that the politicians, that the founders wanted the politicians to be the ones making decisions about women's health is ridiculous. That's the last, no politician should be making that decision. A doctor should be making those decisions. That's how it should be run. That's what you're going to do. And if I'm elected, I'm going to restore Roe v. Wade.
So that means he can take the life of the baby in the ninth month and even after birth, because some states, Democrat run, take it after birth. Again, the governor, former governor of Virginia, put the baby down, then we decide what to do with it. So he's willing to, as we say, rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month and kill the baby. Nobody wants that to happen, Democrat or Republican. Nobody wants it to happen.
You're lying. That is simply not true. The Roe v. Wade does not provide for that. That's not the circumstance. Only if a woman's life is in danger, she's going to die. That's the only circumstance in which that can happen. But we are not for late-term abortion, period. Period, period.
Under Roe v. Wade, you have late-term abortion. You can do whatever you want, depending on the state. You can do whatever you want. We don't think that's a good thing. We think it's a radical thing. We think the Democrats are the radicals, not the Republicans.
For 51 years, that was the law. 51 years, constitutional scholarship said it was the right way to go. 51 years, and it was taken away because this guy put very conservative members on the Supreme Court. He takes credit for taking it away. What's he going to do? What's he going to do, in fact, if the MAGA Republicans, he gets elected, and the MAGA Republicans control the Congress, and they pass a universal ban on abortion, period, across the board, at 6 weeks or 7 or 8 or 10 weeks, something very, very conservative. Is he going to sign that bill? I'll veto it. He'll sign it.
Thank you.
All right, I want to weigh on this because this is a subject that I've covered so much. I want you to know that even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, former Supreme Court justice on the left, like hanging off the cliff of the left, said that Roe versus Wade was wrongly decided. She was just one of many legal scholars who said that for years. And so, yeah, 51 years we had this law. Roe versus Wade and its companion, Doe versus Bolton, in 1973 made abortion legal for all 9 months. People had no idea when that was passed how radical it was. You have to understand, take yourself back in time. I touched on it earlier. Abortion was anathema in this country. Anathema. We didn't believe in it. We thought life was sacred because our founders and the early settlers had more of a consciousness of God and right and wrong. And so they would never have accepted this. And when it was passed in 73, people were not ready for this either. This was a decision that the Supreme Court made and foisted it upon the American people when there were only, I think, two states that were considering abortion, making it legal. And that was, as I recall, New York and California. So legal for all 9 months. And I would make my point by telling you, if you remember, if you're old enough to remember partial birth abortion, that was late-term abortion. So brutal. And we had to fight to get a bill passed. Bill Clinton vetoed it twice. President Bush finally signed it. I was there at the signing because that happened under Roe versus Wade. So Joe Biden is lying. And I was really grateful that President Trump was so explicit about that.
Well, and there's even proof, besides what Donald Trump said, that not just late-term abortion, but post-birth abortion is favored by some Democrats because former Virginia Governor Northam, who is a doctor, by the way, which really makes it unbelievable to me. But he mentioned when they were debating the abortion law in Virginia, he says, well, you know, a woman should be able to, even if she gives birth to the baby, we should set her aside, and then we can make a decision between the doctor and the woman as to whether or not they want to keep this baby alive. That is a murder. That is a living person laying on a table, and if you kill them, I'm sorry, that's murder. That's not abortion. That's not, you can put whatever name on it, that's a murder.
It's similar to years ago when I was on radio in Chicago. A pastor from Oaklawn called me to tell me that there was a nurse in his congregation who was witnessing the murder of live birth abortion babies. In other words, they were aborting babies. The babies were not dead when they were born. They were putting them in closets just to let them die. And her name was Jill Stanek. And initially, she went on the show, on my show, didn't want to say who she was, but she began to talk about it because it disturbed her so much. And out of that, it became a huge national issue because this was happening in other places. And so that became a huge battle, and that was first broken on my radio show in Chicago. It's kind of I just say that because it just, I want you to know how vested I am in this issue. And so out of that came the Born Alive Infant Protection Act that was signed into law again by George W. Bush, and I was there when that was signed too. So I just want to drill down on what was true and not true about the abortion issue.
You know, and I get so angry, Sandy, at so many of these people that treat abortion like it's some sacrosanct right that they have a right to have it. I'll guarantee you, on many of these people, if you substituted the word puppy for the word fetus, they would go crazy. You can't kill dogs in the womb. You can't. But when it's a baby, it's different to them. And I think that's sick.
Yeah, I do too, honey. I want to ask you something. Before we get off the subject of the debate, I want to ask you about something that I didn't understand because I know nothing about golf. It got silly at one point. And President Biden was boasting about how he has a golf handicap down to 6. I don't know what that means.
Well,
could he have a golf handicap?
You know what that means?
He spent
way too much time playing golf as vice president, in my opinion, because a 6 handicap means you're really good. And you don't get really good at golf without going out and playing. And I tell you, it always amazed me how the press covered for Obama and apparently Biden also as to how much time they spent playing golf. Remember, the press would follow George Bush and keep a tally on days he was at the ranch in Texas, things like that. Meanwhile, Biden has been in Delaware at his home like two-thirds of his presidency, I think. He's, you know, the weekends he spent there. And obviously, if he's that good a golfer, he's spending way too much time. And
so you think it's possible he might be right?
Well,
you
know, he said he graduated
first in his law class. He talked about he's the smartest person. Yeah. He's lied so much through the years that it's
hard.
Well,
it went from a 6 handicap to an 8 by the time he got about 2 sentences down the road. So who knows what it was. Either way, he's spending too much time playing golf and not enough time being vice president.
Okay, so I think we've talked enough about the debate. There's a lot more about. Maybe you'd want to watch it because it was pivotal. And it's pivotal for a reason that you may or may not comprehend. Bruce and I are going to talk about that right after this.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Freeborn is in the business of stopping this nonsense of abortion, and they do it by persuading the moms that if they could just see their babies, they might have a different view, and it works. It actually works. You know, they have a passion for saving unborn babies from abortion and for seeing women come to Christ. It's a real ministry. It's not just, you know, it's like Mother Teresa, and I don't mean to offend those of you that are Catholic. It's not enough to feed the poor, and it's not enough to stop abortion. If we do not get to people's hearts and minds and they are not transformed by the power of God and forgiven, then it's all for naught. And so with abortion, it's the same thing. And that's why over the past 18 years, they have counseled over 500,000 women considering abortion, and more than 280,000 babies have been saved, and over 80,000 women have come to Christ. Can you imagine that life change? I can, and I hope you can too. If you'd like to help Preborn, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I was on the phones for some of it after that became clear, and there is a conversation happening inside Biden's circle, and certainly a much more frank conversation happening inside the Democratic coalition. And I think there will be stories of a lot of concern about the performance tonight. And I think what
when you say conversations happening, what do you mean?
I think people are talking. I think the conversations range from whether he should be in this race tomorrow morning to what was wrong with him. I mean, he has a cold that came out. Our own Kelly O'Donnell report of that a few minutes in, but exactly what
negative
you
COVID test, but a cold,
right? Yes. So those things were, I mean, the reason reporters were reporting on the cold was because of what you articulated. I mean, the voice was very, very soft. It wasn't the Joe Biden performance of the State of the Union. No. It wasn't seizing a moment to get on the offensive on immigration. It wasn't Joe Biden on the offensive on January 6th. It wasn't Joe Biden on the offensive on abortion, his two, you know, shining issues. It was exactly what Chris Hayes predicted. It was Trump moderating, not just tonally, but sounding less crazy as he lied as often as he breathed. The debate moderators did not fact check one thing, but they did give Joe Biden time to fact check, and he didn't do much of that either. It is not our job to tell people what to see and hear, but I think what I heard from a Biden aide is we can't necessarily spin too much what people did see and hear.
Okay, so that was MSNBC. That's the voice of Nicole Wallace, of course, who hates President Trump. Rachel Maddow, briefly, she hates Trump. Joy Reid. And so if you turned on MSNBC, that's what you heard immediately after the debate. If you turned on CNN, you heard much the same. So here's the deal. I think I shared with you several months ago that I thought this was going to happen. Not that that matters. I'm not. I have no crystal ball. I wouldn't use it if I had it. But I could just tell you they're not going to let him run. They're not. He's too weak. They have something in the pipeline. And this, I believe, is all orchestrated. Maybe they were trying to give him a chance last night on the debate stage to do something that would redeem him, but he couldn't. He couldn't pull it off after, you know, a whole week of studying and being prepped and resting while President Trump was out doing rallies every day, two or three a day. That's what he did last night. And so I think they knew that, and they were ready for this pivot. They're not shocked. They're not surprised. They're helping make this transition. Bruce, you want to just comment about that?
Yeah, I think this really demonstrates the hypocrisy of the Democratic Party, the media, trying to feign surprise that, wow, Joe Biden really had a bad night. He didn't look like he was on his game. Where for at least the last year, maybe two, they have been spinning that Joe Biden is fine. You played the clip of all those Democratic operatives, Secretary Mayorkas, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, KJP, Maxine Waters, all saying, this man is at the top of his game.
He's sharp.
He's probing. Yeah. And that has been a lie, and they have just been carrying this guy because he carries the water for the party.
Yes, which illustrates very clearly that someone else is running the government, and that's pretty scary.
That is
scary. It hasn't been Joe Biden, and now I think people understand that, and the press has known that. They've cooperated with this cover-up, and I hope it illustrates to all of us how little you can trust what they say. You can't trust them. They're part of the cabal. They're trying to, whatever their goal is, I think some of them is just to be cool. But it's stupid because they're destroying the country, and with that, it's going to destroy them too and their lives. So I want to just give a couple of other illustrations here. Chuck Todd, who is no fan of President Trump, had some interesting things to say. This is clip five.
You know, one of the things was, would either candidate look like the caricature that the other campaign has been trying to paint of him? And at the end of the day, Joe Biden looks like the caricature that conservative media has been painting. And there were no clips tonight, right? This was, you saw it before your eyes. Look, I don't want to just tell you what I think here, Tom. I've been talking to a lot of leaders in the Democratic Party, electeds, coalition leaders. There's a full-on panic about this performance. Not like, oh, this is recoverable. It is more of a, okay, he's got to step aside. There's a lot of that chatter. This is about as bad of a performance in order to that Biden could have delivered if his goal was to try to sort of calm the waters among Democrats.
All right, the Chuck Todd. So Biden's performance was the caricature that the left, or I mean that the right Republicans had created. That's not a caricature. A caricature is exactly what the Republicans have been saying is not the truth. He actually is feeble, confused, and he's been pumped up by something. We don't really know, I can't say. But something's not right. I felt he was pumped up last night on something.
You know, the hypocrisy here to me is amazing, because if you watch the post-debate coverage, and I watched it on CNN, I made sure I went over there as well as Newsmax and Fox. There was a universal message being put out on that channel that this is what they call DEFCON 1. DEFCON 1, that's a military term. And what that means is that's the highest level of alert, and that's a readiness level for the military. And when you go to DEFCON 1, it requires immediate response. And, you know, let's not let ourselves be kidded that this change of heart in the media happened just over that 90 minutes of that debate. This has been coming, like you say, Sandy, this has been covered up for a long time, and I really think that the Biden team never thought Trump would agree to this debate.
Oh, that could be true. Yeah,
given the parameters that Trump was boxed in by.
I never thought of that.
He went ahead and called their bluff, and now they had to go ahead, and guess what? Now the genie is out of the bottle. Biden is incapable of being the president.
Because it really doesn't matter to the left who's president, because they won't really be running it. There's a group of people, and they're mostly Obama staff. The people behind, like the Wizard of Oz, like the wizard behind the curtain, is running this, a cabal of people, and it isn't President Biden.
Yeah, and you know, people will call us conspiracy theorists that, Obama's running the show behind the scenes. I'm telling you, if you listen to the words out of the mouths of the commentators and the pundits last night, you know that's exactly what's been happening, because who are they talking to? People in the Obama camp,
right,
people,
exactly.
You know, that are donors, people like that. Those are the people that are running this party, which translates to they're running this government, which translates to they are running this country right now. Not Joe Biden. It's the Democratic machine.
You know, I want to mention something. Last night, at the end of the debate, President Trump exited, and Joe Biden just stood there. And Jill Biden came out and walked him down. And there's actually a video of it. And he's like trying to make it down the stairs. And then this is Jill Biden at the after party for Joe Biden. I want you to hear what she had to say. This is clip four.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do? Why? Yes.
First Lady Jill Biden. Now, I want to read something, Bruce. You haven't heard this from ESPN, Stephen Smith. Okay, this is what he had to say. So do you all finally want to stop arguing with me about Biden now? Have your fears now been confirmed? At Michelle Obama, at VP, somebody, please help. Biden's team wanted this? His staff? His loved ones? How could you put him out there like that? How could you? Stephen A. Smith.
You know, it's been mentioned before, but I think it was really evident last night that Jill Biden, is...
Jill.
She is guilty of elder abuse. She loves being in the spotlight. And if you don't believe that, watch that clip that Sandy just played. She couldn't wait to get out there. And the way she treated her husband, the president of the United States, basically, you know what it reminded me of? Like a third grade mother going, good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
Right.
You answered all the questions.
Yeah.
I swear that on the back of the presidential limousine, there should be a sticker. My husband is an honor roll president. I mean, this was beyond belief how she had to lead him around. And you could see in the post-debate interaction between the two of them, Joe just stands there. It's Jill that's running the show. You know, a lot of people have said that's another conspiracy theory. But I'm telling you, you watch that clip and you tell me who's running the show.
All right, I want to talk about what's next in just a second, but I can't do this without... we have to get this in. This is a fake ad for a sleep inducer. And we'll just listen to it. It's clip six.
If you're having trouble sleeping, ask your doctor about Bidenica, the sleep aid made from 100% Joe Biden press conference.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Bidenica has a patented blend of confusion and forgetfulness that will calm the most overactive brains.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, it's taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
When they sold out American jobs and killed the Keystone Pipeline, it kept me up all night worrying about how we pay our bills. But then I got Bidenica, and I've never slept better.
Sometimes when I get hopped up on sugar, my parents give me Bidenica so I pass out.
Warning, people who have used Bidenica have experienced rampant lying and an inability to secure the southern border. Others have hallucinated and fought breakfast cereals.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Ask your doctor if Bidenica is right for you.
Okay, well, we have to have some fun. And I have to say, you know, when Joe Biden put himself out there, he knows he was slipping. You know that yourself. I know that. For myself, I watch for it all the time because I'm not young anymore. And when the time comes that I can't think, I need to go. And you actually know when that's happening to you. He's not gone. He's proud. He thinks he's the best. He hasn't changed. He's always been that way. He has been a pathological liar, an exaggerator. And this is just the way Joe has been. So, okay, the question is now, we have to pivot. What's next? Gavin Newsom was there last night, Bruce, and he was talking about how well Joe Biden did, but methinks there was something else happening there. I think Gavin Newsom is hoping that he will be able to step in and take Biden's place. Will that be possible?
Well, you know, now here comes the rub for the Democrats, even though they usually control things through the judicial system, so they may be all right, but... It's not so easy to remove a candidate from state ballots once they've gone through certification and they're on the ballot. Each state is different, but some, if your name is already on the ballot, the only way it can be removed is if you die.
And, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And I know in Wisconsin it's that way. And so if I was a Republican strategist, this would be my mantra from here on in. You can't have it both ways. You can't say Joe Biden is incapable of running for president, so we have to replace him, at the same time leaving Joe Biden as the sitting president. You can't have it both ways. Either he's capable or he's not. We cannot have 6 to 7 more months of Joe Biden sitting there unable to keep a thought together. So what I would propose is that Republicans start pushing the 25th Amendment, which we often heard invoked when President Trump was sitting in office.
He was not capable.
He's not capable.
Yeah.
Because
the
25th Amendment goes to the fitness of a person to serve as president. And there is a well-laid-out process on how it goes. This is not just they kick him out the door. There are many steps involving the Congress and the Senate that have to be checked off before a president can be removed. But my point is, if you noticed last night during the conversations on the liberal press agencies, they never mentioned Kamala Harris.
Oh.
Kamala Harris is the big elephant in the room. How are they going to get around? Because they, you know, through sources, you know, the Democrats do not want Kamala Harris as their candidate.
And she does not want to step down.
And she does not want to step down. And she is, by law, if the 25th Amendment were to be invoked, she would be the president. Now, as scary as that sounds to me, I would prefer Kamala Harris maybe being the president for the next few months versus a Gavin Newsom, a Hillary Clinton, a Michelle Obama, somebody that might step in and actually win this thing. And, you know, there's a lot of talk that if this 25th Amendment is either tried to be invoked or if people start pressuring Biden to step down and not run, not step down as president but not run next time, that, you know, he, like you were talking, Sandy, he's got such an ego. And Jill has such an ego, you could see it yesterday, that it's going to be difficult to get Biden to step away. But I think the Democrats probably have that covered too, because Hunter Biden, the president's son, is still in a lot of potential legal
jeopardy.
He's got a lot of exposure, especially on this tax case that's going to come up in California. And, you know, the Democrats could really put a wedge on Joe, right, that, you know what, we're not going to protect your son. You know, we have influence. If he gets convicted, we'll make sure he goes to jail, things like that. I know that's a dirty trick, but that's the way things are.
We got Jill and Joe. So Jill has to cooperate too. And we saw her performance at the end of the debate cheerleading about how well he did. She's not inclined. She's already proven that. What wife cooperates with putting her husband out there like that, letting him make a fool of himself, and just continuing the charade over and over again? I don't know. I can't imagine that. And yet that's what she's been doing.
And think of it, Sandy. As much as we know about Joe's infirmities, think of what she knows, because she's there behind the scenes. And you have to remember that that performance last night was after President Biden had been really just ensconced with advisors, being prepped, being told what to say, being told what snark to use, all that. He was as ready as he will ever be.
Right.
He hasn't been the president for the last 8-10 days. He's been preparing for the debate. And if that's the best he can be, think of what he's at. Yep. Think of what he's like when he's at his worst.
Well, okay, so they have to persuade him, they have to persuade her, and they have to persuade Kamala Harris to step out. Now, this is my theory, and with this we will close. I want to close with kind of a nice clip today. I think they've got it all worked out. They're not constrained by rules. They are ruthless. They are close to taking everything. They're trying to destroy the Supreme Court, and they've weakened our Congress. So I think we are in great danger from abroad, from our enemies, from China and Iran, and even North Korea. And Russia. We're in danger from all of them, thanks to Joe Biden. So we're in peril right now. Let me just be clear. But I think that they've got this all worked out. That's why I think the press pivoted so quickly last night. It was part of their talking points. They knew they were going to do that. And I think that's why Jake Tapper and Nicole Wallace were so, not Nicole Wallace, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash were so congenial, actually, and asked hard questions of Joe Biden. It was all part of the plan. So that's my opinion. But I want to close with something, Bruce. We were at the Faith and Freedom Coalition conference in Washington, D.C., just a week ago. And there was a young girl there that spoke on Trump's behalf. It was a really wonderful moment. And I think it'd be nice, remember all of you, because I say this to you often, that God is in control. There's nothing God can't do. God rarely does what we exactly think he should do. He rarely does anything the way we wish he would do it, even though we pray to that end. Sometimes he's so good, and he does that. But his ways are always better. So we don't know what's going to happen here. We just don't. So just fasten your seatbelts and trust him. Meanwhile, this is the young girl, Natalie Harp, at the Trump rally, the Trump speech at Faith and Freedom Coalition last weekend. This is clip 10.
I heard the story of an incredible, unbelievable young woman who was battling rare bone cancer. They made a mistake. A doctor or hospital made a mistake. She called it a medical error. Her name is Natalie Harp, and she lit up the television screen like very few people I've ever seen do it. And she talked about how they were preparing her for death. And because of Right to Try, she's now living and I think doing phenomenally well. And somebody said she's here. Are you here, Natalie? Is it? Where's Natalie? Will you come up here, please? Come up, Natalie.
Mr. President, you know, we all know the story about the Good Samaritan, but what you don't know is I was that forgotten person on the side of the road, the victim of medical error, the number 3 cause of death under the previous administration, and left to die of cancer. First, the medical establishment, they came by, and they saw me there, so they wrote prescriptions for opioids, and they walked on. Next, the political establishment, they saw me there. And they stopped just long enough to come over and tell me how to die, how to speed up my death so I could somehow die with dignity. But then an outsider, my good Samaritan, President Donald J. Trump, he saw me there and he didn't walk by. He stopped. And for every single one of us, he gave up his own quality of life so we could live and work and fight with dignity, because he believes in survival of the fighters, not the fittest. And so, Mr. President, I have to say you have made a lot of promises to us, and you have kept every one of them. So now we're going to make you this promise. Just as you fought for us, forgotten America will never forget how you saw us on the side of the road, and you walked over, and you picked us up, and you made us great again. And now we're going to fight for you, Mr. President. God bless you.
Natalie Harp, I can't think of a better way to end. Laura, honey, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, it was my pleasure, honey. Yeah. And you proved that even when you have a cold, you can deliver.
Well, thank you, honey. Thank you. All right. Well, you know, this is Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios 24/7. And do you know we have a wonderful sponsor? We have a new one. It's Timothy Plan, where you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or you can, you know, you can catch us at sandy@afr.net. You can write us. You can catch us at sandyrios.com or any podcast platform, any social media outlet that you like. And you can call us at 662-821-2040. Well, this has been really interesting, hasn't it? We're on a wild ride here, and we have a great God. There's nothing he can't do. So I hope you enjoyed this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.